This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, February 21st, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ethanol industry fighting California plan. Carbon pipeline could be lucrative, and WTO's stuck ag talks. Ethanol groups blast California plan. The ethanol industry is pushing back on a California proposal to require sustainability requirements for biofuel feedstocks. The California Air Resources Board is seeking to tighten requirements for the state's low-carbon fuel standard in a bid to reduce the state's greenhouse gas emissions. The proposed sustainability requirement for crop and forestry feedstocks are vague, overreaching, and unnecessary for U.S.-produced biofuel feedstocks, the Renewable Fuels Association says in comments filed yesterday with CARB. The RFA comments also pushed California to allow the sale of E15 blends. California is the only state left where the 15% ethanol blend cannot be used. The American Coalition for Ethanol says in its comments that CARB's broad and burdensome proposal would, quote, only serve to discourage participation in the LCFS. The comments note that the group is leading a USDA-funded project that will help farmers adopt conservation practices on 100,000 acres of land in the Midwest, with the ultimate goal of helping biofuels qualify for low-carbon standards and tax incentives. Why it matters? Well, fuel suppliers that exceed the LCFS carbon intensity benchmarks must buy tradable credits, while fuels that come in under the benchmark earn credits. CO2 sequestration credit could double ethanol income. The $85 per ton carbon sequestration tax credit in the Inflation Reduction Act could mean another $3.75 billion in annual after-tax revenue for the ethanol industry. That according to a new analysis by University of Illinois economist Scott Irwin. That figure would more than likely double the after-tax income of the U.S. ethanol industry, he says. Irwin also says in his analysis that estimating the cost of implementing carbon dioxide sequestration is, quote, very hard, especially when looking at different ethanol plants. Conversations with ethanol industry analysts suggest the total cost would be as much as half of the value of the 45Q credits in some cases, he says. But even with this level of cost, the revenue potential from the credits is still very attractive to most ethanol producers. Given the large CO2 production of ethanol plants, it is not surprising that the maximum possible benefit from tax credits for sequestration in the IRA is also large, the analysis says. Irwin estimates total CO2 production of U.S. ethanol plants from 2015 through 2023 ranges from 42.4 million tons to 48.9 million tons, which represent slightly less than 1% of total U.S. CO2 equivalent emissions, which helps put into perspective the large size of CO2 production from the relatively small number of ethanol plants operating in the U.S. Keep in mind, proposed carbon sequestration pipelines have faced continued opposition from some Midwest landowners. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Edge says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. WTO stockholding talks frustrate advocates. Advocates for farmers in developing countries aren't hopeful for progress on key issue at the upcoming ministerial meeting of the World Trade Organization. Their goal is to guarantee the ability of governments to subsidize farmers through the prices they pay under public food programs. A permanent solution to the public stockholding issue, which has pitted India against the United States, has been, quote, repeatedly blocked by many developing countries, says Ranja Sagupta, senior researcher on agriculture and food security for Third World Network India, a research and advocacy group. We know that the reality of the negotiation is that likely this is stuck. There will not be any outcome, Sagupta told reporters Tuesday. A senior WTO official said recently there have been very intensive discussions on the public stockholding issue, but they are unlikely to be resolved by the MC13 meeting at Abu Dhabi. When school lunch is free, more kids take it. Five states saw a nearly 6% increase in school lunch participation compared to pre-pandemic levels after offering free meals to students. Four states saw breakfast enrollment increase by around the same amount. That according to a new report from the Food Research and Action Center, a nutrition advocacy group. School lunch participation in California, Maine, Nevada, Massachusetts, and Vermont increased by a total of 233,656 students in the 22-23 school year when compared to the 2018-19 school year, FRAC says. School breakfast participation in California, Maine, Massachusetts, and Vermont, meanwhile, increased around 129,264 students. Participation in Nevada school breakfast program, however, declined around 9,358 students. Lawsuits filed over crop and animal damage caused by PFAS in biosolids. Five Texas farmers are suing a manufacturer of biosolid fertilizer, alleging that the product, quote, contains high levels of PFAS that poisoned them, killed their livestock, polluted their water, and rendered their property worthless. That according to Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. The lawsuit was filed in Baltimore County, Maryland Circuit Court. Cedegro, the manufacturer, is headquartered in Baltimore. The fertilizer was made from sewage sludge that Cedegro brought from the Fort Worth, Texas water treatment plant, according to Peer. Cedegro could not be reached for comment yesterday. Well, here's today's She Said It. Climate change is the biggest threat to my business and livelihood, and farmers need policy change and financial support to survive. That Maryland farmer Emma Jagos speaking on a webinar organized by the James Beard Foundation. The foundation is launching a Climate Solutions for Restaurant Survival campaign to unite chefs to raise awareness about climate change and to galvanize actions that could mitigate its impact. New York chef J.J. Johnson said chefs already are making changes in purchasing practices for beef, rice, and other products. The foundation says independent restaurants employ nearly 4 million people nationwide. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, February 21st, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.